You're listening to the Woman Power Zone podcast with host Ariel Hubbard, empath, energy worker, and massage therapist. We share secrets and stories of women's empowerment, learn from over 32 years of working in holistic healing arts, and talking with thousands of women about their amazing life stories. If you are seeking ways to grow, pivot, heal, and uplevel your life, you are in the right place. Here is your host, Ariel Hubbard. Welcome to Woman Power Zone. In today's episode, we talk about the power of meditation with Reiki Master, Yoga, and Meditation Teacher, Kristen Fuel. You're going to learn some different aspects about meditation and where to get started. Stay with us. Welcome to Woman Power Zone, a safe space for learning, growing, healing, and empowerment. Today, we're speaking with Reiki Master, Yoga Teacher, and Meditation Teacher, Kristen Fuel. She's a good friend of mine, and she's an established yoga educator and healer with more than three decades of experience in the healing arts as an energy worker, yoga, meditation teacher, and Reiki Master. And she owns Full Circle Yoga and Healing Arts in Yorba Linda, California. She offered a wonderful book called The Gift of Awakening. It's a really powerful journey about different people's ways of becoming enlightened or opening up to spirituality. She helps empaths discover the gifts of being a sensitive spiritual person. Kristen, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here with us.
Thank you, Ariel.
We're so happy to have you. So we know meditation is important. You and I do. The power of meditation is the theme of this show. But I love our listeners to know, like, why is it important? How is it helpful? But first of all, how did you become the amazing teacher that you are today? Like, what was your journey like? Because I think people need to know that. They need to know, like, you don't just stumble into meditation and yoga and healing. It's not like you trip over your laundry and stand up and go, oh, I'm going to do these things. So I'd love it if you'd share your story, because a lot of us have different interesting stories. What's yours?
I came to it out of necessity. I was in a really hard place for a really long time. And I started with some yoga classes. I started with energy work also with you as my teacher and my friend over, 25 years now we've known each other.
It's wonderful.
And you witnessed some of the hardest parts of my journey. And the best advice I ever got at that time was, Kristen, you're going to need to learn yoga. You're going to have to learn how to manage your energy and not give it away all the time to anyone who is trying to suck it out of you. And you're going to need to learn and practice Reiki. And if you can make those things a part of your life, you're going to be okay. You're going to make it. You're going to be better than okay. And I did do the yoga. I did the yoga teacher training. I started teaching yoga. But back in those days, when we're talking early 2000s, meditation was taught separately than the yoga class. And I had not mastered that. The meditation was different than moving my body. I didn't need an embodied experience. But the sitting down and being still was completely inaccessible to me at that time. So it took me a while to come down to it, but I knew that it was going to be necessary for my spiritual and personal growth, that I was going to have to sit down and feel my feelings. And that means meditation doesn't happen the first time you sit down and do it. It doesn't even happen the 10th or the 50th time. But if you stay with it, you feel your feelings, you get through the hardest part, and then it opens up to you. And, like when I said, I came to it the hard way, means that I didn't even have an in-person teacher. I didn't even know really who to call other than you, who just said, you know, you just need to do these things. And I did do some guided meditations, but the sitting down and doing it with discipline is really what made it happen for me. And so now I can help other people identify the obstacles to meditating, because I've been through, I swear, every single one of them.
Oh yeah, I believe it. Hey everybody, if you're loving this show and you want to make a difference, please go to Apple Podcast Ratings and give the show a 5-star rating. Thanks so much. It's appreciated. And for those who know me, they know that they said the same stuff now that I said 25 years ago. So they know I'm consistent with my messaging.
100%.
To make this about me, because the person who's amazing is you. Overcoming those obstacles is huge. Going through all the steps. And I've been through those too. You know, going through and sitting and being with yourself. There are different types of meditation. Buddha said there were four different types, right? Sitting, standing, walking, and lying. And yeah, so, yeah. Right? Right? And a lot of things like chanting a mantra, that's like a form of, I call walking meditation, because a walking meditation is meditating while you're doing an activity, right? Mm-hmm. Standing is like literally standing there and meditating and like breathing. And some people might call that like Qigong or maybe Tai Chi. Some people may put that in the walking category. And then there's sitting, that's sitting there and breathing, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's lying, which is lying down and meditating. And they're all different from each other. And sometimes people like think that one's better than the other, but I don't think one's better than the other.
No, it's whatever works for the individual.
Exactly. But most Westerners, because we're so left brain dominant in so many of our activities, it's about doing, performing, and thinking, right? And would you say meditation is about thinking?
No, it's more about reflecting on what thoughts are coming in, or just accepting that you had a thought and then being willing to let it go and watching what arises, feel it coming into your field of awareness, and then letting that go. But with practice, then it becomes more reflective, so that you can recognize your habits and your patterns. What is your mind doing while you're sitting or lying or walking or doing a thing? Are you able to do the thing that you set out to do? Which for me is the just sitting. So that was actually the most complicated part of meditation, is sitting still.
I agree.
Because when you're in an activity, you can focus in on the activity and just do the activity. As they say, when you drink your tea, can you just drink your tea and not do anything else? Right. So sitting is also about establishing your sitting posture. Can you be comfortable in your body while you are sitting? Finding that sitting balance. Right. And that's where yoga comes in, is to make sure that your body's needs are attended to.
And that's why yoga was invented, right? Because those rishis 5,000 years ago, they're meditating. And they got so uncomfortable, they couldn't focus, right?
So you got to move that energy in your body and
so that's established the sitting. They started doing yoga, and then after they do their yoga, then they can sit and meditate. And yes, that's why you see a lot of people meditating after a yoga class.
Well, what I've discovered in my neck of the woods anyway, is you don't find sitting meditation at the end of a yoga class. I am one of the few people that actually leads the yoga into a brief shavasana, really no more than 2 or 3 minutes. People are used to these 10 to 15 minute shavasanas, like that's the icing on the cake. But really, if you can take a brief shavasana and then come up to sitting, do some breathing to brighten up the mind, the body is attended to, the breath is attended to, your energy is good, then you can focus.
Yes. And you're right. You're right. Not everybody teaches meditation after yoga. And I think when I took my teacher training in 96, they were doing it more. And I think you're right. They're not doing it as much now.
Yeah. It became more of a physical practice.
Yes. Because it came to the United States, and what do we focus on? The external. And that means looking good and being athletic. It doesn't mean who you're being while you're doing your yoga, or what thoughts are rising and passing away while you're sitting there in Shavasana or meditating or whatever, right? So that's great that you're bringing that to people and that you're making that available. And that's really huge. So what benefits do people get from that? So if they're doing that, they do their yoga. Shavasana is the lying down at the end of a yoga practice. And then if they sit up again and then they're meditating, what benefits do they get from that?
Well, it depends on where they're at. They might just need a structured environment in which to have quiet. So something different that I do that not a lot of teachers do is allowing the quiet and allowing the pauses during the asana practice, we practice the pause. So in between a sequence of vinyasa, we practice the pause so that by the time they're at the end of the class, they're used to slowing down and observing that pause. It becomes much more natural for them to have me stop talking, not having to guide every thought going through their mind. If I do my job right, then they've moved through the class in a very natural way.
Yes.
So that they can endure some silence and then notice what's going on with them without having me to fill all of that space. So I do set up the focus of the meditation, but there's going to be several minutes, maybe 5-6 minutes where I'm not talking at all. And yeah. It depends on the group, of course, or if I'm working up with an individual, I don't sit there and make them suffer. But, once I can identify the obstacles, I try to help them overcome those obstacles by having a little dialogue with them. That's in a private or semi-private situation. But in a yes. group class, 5 to 6 minutes of quiet, the benefits are recognizing that they're resilient, that they can sit there and they are going to be okay. And yes, they are supported.
Absolutely. And for those who don't know, asanas are yoga poses, and a vinyasa is a series of yoga poses in a flow. And so what people do in a yoga class is they'll do a series of these things. And a lot of teachers will talk the entire way through. And so what she's saying is creating space and silence so people can sit with the silence in between the physicality of the words and the vibrational frequency of the words. And that silence is where the really powerful energy of the universe is. And so when people go into very deep states of meditation, not only do their brainwaves slow down from a beta through an alpha, it can even get into a theta, which is a really profound state. And then some amazing things happen in the brain. And there have been oodles of studies done on this about how the brain does all different types of activities. But one of the things it does is it develops a higher level of ability to cope with stress, a higher level of resilience, dealing with stress or challenging experiences. And I find meditation helps people overcome trauma if they do it consistently. And it also makes people more aware of what we call samsaras, which are, I call it the swirl. It's the negative thoughts and feelings, belief systems, right? That are stored within our consciousness. And when you meditate, and I love how she said, enduring 5 to 6 minutes, because for Westerners, it feels like you're enduring silence. If you meditate consistently, you're like, I can just sit with this quiet silence and be with the universe, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so
extend that meditation as well. So I do have separate classes that are for experienced medicators.
Well, that too.
Yeah.
No, because it's funny you mentioned that. That's a funny slip of the tongue. But the thing is, in some of those studies, they talk about how meditation has the effects of people who are taking certain drugs. It's almost like taking a drug. And it is. It's your own chemicals
yeah.
that are creating a certain state.
Balancing and your neurochemicals.
Exactly. And there's one called anandamide, which is the bliss hormone. And that comes up when people meditate. And people don't usually talk about anandamide. So I thought I'd mention it today. So like you said, you have beginner's classes, and then you have classes for more advanced.
Well, the advanced meditating class is not really a class. It's more of a group or
yes.
So I don't know enough people who really want to extend their meditation to like 45 minutes or an hour.
Not yet.
We're working on that. Attracting more people who want to try at least to extend their sitting time, because that's when profound things start to occur, major shifts occur. And I want to encourage people to do that. And so they get started with the yoga and the meditation, and it's breath centered and it's very gentle. I don't set out to make anybody sweat hard or anything. But that meditation at the end gives them at least the confidence that they can sit still for a while. And then if they want to try to extend it, we can do a few private lessons to extend it to maybe 15 minutes. 20 minutes, 25 minutes. Once they hit that half an hour point, it seems like it's really not a big jump to the 45 minutes. And that's where the experienced meditators, where we get together once a week and we do that session. And I'm a participant just like everybody else. I'm working on my stuff just like everybody else. I do the practice.
It's I don't really talk the talk. When you get a community of people meditating together, there's an actual very powerful energetic flow that's generated that, as being an energy sensitive, and I've been in, they, some people call it the Sangha, it's the community of meditators. And when you're sitting in that space with those people, it generates an ability for everyone starts resonating with each other. And then it's easier for people to go into deeper states of consciousness.
And that's what we have discovered in our group, is that we will have shared meditation experiences. We do dialogue just a little bit after our session to find out if anything really interesting came up. And sometimes images will come into the room. Sometimes spiritual guidance will come into the room and shared by more than one or two or three people.
I love that. That's powerful.
Really remarkable and powerful.
If someone wanted to get started with this, we're going to come back. We're going to talk about this after the break. But if somebody wanted to get started, how could they do that? So we're going to take a quick break and we're going to be back.
This podcast is sponsored by Hubbard Education Group, creating wellness through education. If you've wanted to learn about being an empath, healing, energy work, consciousness, or massage, we have online and in-person courses for you. Find us on Facebook at Hubbard Education Group, that's Hubbard Education Group, or go to www.arielhubbard.com. That's www.arielhubbard.com. And if you're on Clubhouse, you can find Ariel Hubbard by looking up Ariel Hubbard, A-R-I-E-L-H-U-B-B-A-R-D.
And we're back. So I've been talking with Kristen Fuel. She's an amazing person. And she teaches yoga. She teaches Reiki. She teaches meditation. And we were talking about some of the benefits of meditation, like resilience and ability to cope with stress. And basically, actually, it elevates mood significantly, I find also. Mm-hmm. And so I was asking you, how can people get started? Like, if they wanted to get started, how could they get started?
I find that private lessons with an experienced teacher is the best way of getting on the right track with meditation, rather than having to come in contact with all of the many obstacles that will come up. And there are many. You can get past those hurdles fairly quickly and have successful meditation when you have an experienced teacher. That said, I am available for private sessions. Then again, a group class is fine too. It's not as fine-tuned to the individual, but it gives
but
you
something. It's still something. No, some of our listeners are not, because you're teaching in Southern California, right? In Orange County area.
Yes, in my studio in Yorba Linda at Full Circle Yoga and Healing Arts, and I'll be teaching in Tustin at the Full Body Wellness Collective.
Fantastic. So for the local Orange County people, you guys go study with her. But if someone's not there, how could they work with you? Could they work with you by Zoom?
Absolutely. Yes, I do distance sittings. That's really easy. They can contact me by email or by phone.
Okay.
I do have social media. So all of my contact information is on Instagram and on Facebook.
Okay. What's your website?
FullCircleYogaOC.com. So the OC stands for Orange County. There are other Full Circles, but only one in Orange County.
And they can find you under Full Circle Yoga OC at also on Facebook.
Correct.
And also on Instagram itself.
Correct.
Okay. And then they can find your phone number in one of those places.
Absolutely.
I will tell you that I have a lot of clients and I recommend meditation to them. And sometimes I'll suggest an app. And the only reason why I suggest an app is because they're so shy and nervous about it. Any exposure, like 5 or 10 minutes, is a starting point. But I think I agree with you. I think the best way to really learn this is to work with someone in person, because you're right, there are obstacles. And if you just listen to an app, you don't know what those obstacles are and you encounter them, but you don't know what they are. And then people give up. And it's really important to not give up. That's the key thing. And I will tell you, having, and this is for our listeners, yeah, meditation can really help with mental health. And I can say this, that a lot of challenges that are faced by people that I know, I haven't had those issues because I've been meditating for a really long time, decades. And I know that meditation has made a difference. I know that. Like, that's helped me not go down certain paths that would have been unhelpful or destructive. And it's helped me keep my focus. So I definitely recommend it. Also, like, connects you with the energy of the universe. It charges you full of life force energy. It helps you deal with the challenges of daily life and not get burned out. It helps you recharge and restore. There's so many different benefits. Now, I have worked with Kristen, and I've seen her teach and I've seen her work, and she really is a gentle and powerful soul who really does help people move through these stages. So if you do have a chance to work with her, I recommend it. Or if you need to find someone else local to you in person, go do that, everybody, because meditation is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Any other thoughts about meditation that you want to share before we finish up today?
Just that if somebody wanted to maybe read or listen to an account of how somebody got started with meditation and some suggestions for mindfulness activities, because that's another thing, you know, maybe somebody's not ready for meditation, but they would like to explore aspects of mindfulness, which are, they are different. Okay.
What's the difference? What's mindfulness?
Mindfulness is noticing what's going on in the present moment, but not necessarily with reflection on it. It's just allowing sensations to come into your field of awareness. Notice them as they are, noticing as they arise, noticing how they change, but staying with it. So you can be mindful of what you're looking at, you know, looking at a single spot. You can be mindful of what you're tasting. Just really, really staying with that sensation. You can be very mindful of what you're listening to, maybe a bird outside, and staying trained on that. It's a present moment experience. It's not telling a story about it. It's not, you know, creating anything out of that. It's just what exactly you are perceiving.
And then meditation is?
Sustained focus on a concept, a virtue, a breath, a sensation, and then it becomes more reflective and the awareness about that sensation, like the true nature of that sensation or awareness or virtue, it begins to grow.
That's wonderful.
It helps the mind illuminate, and you realize many things, not only about yourself, but about your relationships, your interconnectedness with all things.
About the choices
that we are pure spirit and pure love.
Totally. And that if drama is in our lives, it's because we choose it. That was one of the big ones I got from a meditation retreat, and that we could choose not to buy into the drama, and we can stay focused on the real truth of the universe, and that all is well underneath everything. Yes. Underneath all the ins and outs of daily life, that things are actually good. That's a big one.
Yes.
And that realization is powerful when you're recovering from trauma. Really powerful.
Yes.
So I wanted to share that too.
And so that's patient with all that as well, that whatever arises out of meditation, that's very important when you choose a teacher, is to find someone who can sit with anything that arises. It doesn't matter if you cry. It doesn't matter if you have nothing arise. It's okay if you laugh and go, oh my gosh, I had no idea. It's all
the teacher needs to be able to sit with that and be okay with that and hold space for you.
Space for the healing and whatever arises. And so what I was saying about, you know, if you wanted to listen to an account or read about an account, I did write a book. It's called The Gift of Awakening, and it's on Audible. I narrated it myself.
Awesome.
And it's on Amazon in paperback.
And that is, it's a good book. And dare I say, I made a contribution.
You made a huge contribution in there, Ariel. Thank you.
I'm joking because I was actually reading everyone else's accounts and they're amazing. Like I was joking about what I said, but the accounts of people's like awakening in that book are really amazing. It's a beautiful, beautiful anthology of like all these different people's perspectives of their experience in the journey of enlightenment. So, well, I want to thank you for being here with us. I really appreciate you doing this and educating us about meditation and the difference between a meditation and awareness. And those are, you know, mindfulness and a meditation are different things, and giving us some ideas about some benefits and ways people can learn. I really thank you for taking your time out to join with us. And to our listeners, I want to thank you for joining us today. I want to remind you to remember to move with your power and into your magnificence. Namaste. And Prisa, thank you so much. Any last thoughts?
No, this just was a great pleasure, and you make this so easy. And thank you for inviting me on to talk about something that is so dear to me and has been so important in my life and that of my students. Thank you.
And my pleasure, absolute pleasure. And people, please do consider working with her because she really is amazing. Okay, everybody, thank you so much. And we'll see you next time. Have a great day, evening, or morning whenever you listen to the show. Take care. Thanks. Bye. Bye, Kristen.
Bye-bye.
Are you suffering from OIS or over it syndrome? OIS commonly affects parents, spouses, executives, and employees alike. Hubbard Health Solutions can reduce symptoms of OIS, such as stress, pain, unease, lethargy, and a general desire to escape. Ariel Hubbard, licensed massage therapist, customizes a treatment plan that addresses these symptoms and will transform you and your body so you feel human again. Contact Ariel by texting 971-319-2618 or go to arielhubbard.com to learn more about Hubbard Health Solutions. That's Ariel, A-R-I-E-L, Hubbard with an A.com.